Hello and welcome to the Grace of God Hour, brought to you by Minsky Ministries. This is Barry Minsky coming to you again from Savannah, Georgia. And as I said yesterday, I'd like to share with you today from Isaiah chapter 7. Most of us are very familiar with the 14th verse, which predicts the virgin birth of the Lord Jesus Christ, where it says, "Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel." Today, what I'd like to do is share with you the background of that prediction. Why was it given? What was the historical background? Well, there was a king by the name of Ahaz. And Ahaz, like many of the other kings of Judah, was not a very good king. He wasn't one who truly honored and cared about the things of the Lord. This man faced a very terrible trial. We read in the beginning of this chapter, "In the days of Ahaz, the son of Jotham, the son of Uzziah, king of Judah, Rezin, the king of Syria, and Pekah, the son of Remaliah, king of Israel, came up to Jerusalem to wage war against it, but could not yet mount an attack against it." It's really interesting, in fact, very sad, when we look at this story and we see that the king of Israel, that is the northern kingdom, joined together with a heathen nation, Syria, to attack the southern kingdom of Judah. Of course, you'll remember that what was then Judah and Israel used to be one. But after Solomon, the country was divided, and now we find a situation in which one part of what was God's people have joined together with a heathen nation to come against the other part of God's people. Well, what was the reaction of Ahaz? It says, "When the house of David was told, Syria is in league with Ephraim." Ephraim is another name for the northern kingdom. "The heart of Ahaz and the heart of his people shook as the trees of the forest shake before the wind." I want to tell you, they were scared to death. You can picture what that means. They were shaking just like the leaves on the trees. There didn't seem to be much of a concern about going to God and asking him what he wanted, praying for safety from him. But rather, there was simply fear in the hearts of this people. God then sent his prophet, Isaiah. And he says to Isaiah, "Go out to meet Ahaz, you, and share Jacob, your son." It's amazing when we realize that Old Testament names have meanings that are very significant. The son of Isaiah, who went with him to meet Ahaz, was named Share Jacob. Share Jacob means a remnant will return. And this, I believe, is a prediction that though the nation as a whole turn away from God, yet a remnant will return. Well, where do they go to meet Ahaz? It says that they go to the end of the conduit of the upper pool on the highway to the washer's field. That's very significant. You see, Jerusalem in that day had no internal water supply. All of the water that was used by the city was brought in by conduits. Now, if you were in the armed forces of the enemy and you wanted to overtake this nation of Judah, knowing that, what would you do? Well, very simply, you'd block the water supply. If they didn't have water to drink, it wouldn't be very long before they would have to give up. The battle would be over. And so Ahaz is doing part of what he should be doing. He's going out to check on his water supply to make sure it's safe and it's secure. But the message of Isaiah is very interesting. Isaiah says, as God had commanded him to say, "Be careful, be quiet, do not fear, and do not let your heart be faint because of these two smoldering stumps of firebrands." A firebrand is what's left over when the fire goes out. Most of us have been out to campfires, and you know what it's like. The fire is flaming, and then all of a sudden, there's no more fire. But we see a puff of smoke. What's left is the firebrand. In other words, God is saying that the fire is just about out. These two nations are about to disappear. Don't be afraid of them. Don't be afraid of the fierce anger of Rezin and Syria and the son of Remaliah. And he says, because Syria with Ephraim and the son of Remaliah has devised evil against you, saying, let us go up against Judah and terrify it, and let us conquer it for ourselves, and set up the son of Tabeel as king in the midst of it. Thus says the Lord God, it shall not stand, and it shall not come to pass. For the head of Syria is Damascus, and the head of Damascus is Rezin. And then he goes on to say, in 65 years, these two nations will disappear. Have faith, Ahaz. I'm going to take care of it. You don't have anything to be afraid of. You have nothing to worry about, God is saying in essence. But then he goes on to say, if you are not firm in faith, you will not be firm at all. In other words, God says, what you need is faith in me, for I can win the battle. It was obvious to the Lord that Ahaz was not trusting in the things that he was saying. And so God gives him a second chance. You know how God is often so gracious and loving to us? How in the midst of our most difficult times, in times when we might turn away from him momentarily, he is always there to draw us back again and to care for us. So he says to Ahaz, ask a sign of the Lord your God. Let it be deep as Sheol or as high as heaven. God is saying to this rebellious king, I'm going to prove myself to you. All you have to do is ask for a sign. And when you ask for the sign, I will give you a sign. And that's going to prove to you that I am God and that I can do this thing. He says, you can ask for it up in the heavens. You can ask for it in the deep. It doesn't make any difference. I am convinced that if Ahaz had said, okay, God, make all the waters in front of me turn to blood, he would have done it. If he had said, give me a sign up in heaven, a beautiful picture in the clouds, he would have done it. Turn the sky purple, blue, green, and orange, he would have done it. But the response of Ahaz was this, I will not ask, I will not put the Lord to the test. Now this is a crazy bit of subterfuge. God commands him to ask for a sign. He says, I won't ask for a sign because that would be tempting God. How silly can you be? God tells you to do it. You say you won't do it because that'll tempt God. Something very interesting happens at this point. God has been speaking to Ahaz, and every statement has been in the singular. Now, you have to know that in Hebrew, as in many other languages, there are two forms of the word you. There's a singular form, and then there is also a plural form. We don't have that in English. You is either singular or plural, but you can tell the difference in Hebrew. All of a sudden, God changes it from singular to plural. In other words, he is beginning to say, I'm no longer talking to you, Ahaz. You have rejected me. You've rejected a sign that I told you to ask for. And Ahaz, I'm rejecting you. And now it will be that a sign will be given, but you'll never see it. It's a sign that will be given to the house of David in future years. And as it came to pass, it was several hundred years later. He says, "Hear then, O house of David, is it too little for you to weary men? Will you weary my God also? Therefore the Lord himself will give you," plural, "a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel." How sad for Ahaz. He rejected God so he would not receive a sign. He turned away from the Lord so no sign would be given to him. But the wonder of it all is that hundreds of years later, there was a sign. And in fact, the Lord Jesus Christ, as predicted in this verse, was born of a virgin. And notice the name. Remember, names are significant in the Word of God. "You shall call his name Emmanuel." Emmanuel means God with us, or God is with us. What a magnificent picture of God's love. He came to earth, born of a virgin according to this prediction, but he himself, a human being, was also fully God. What a blessing. And the blessing comes down to us today, that if we trust in him as Savior and Lord, we will have everlasting life. We will live forever in the presence of our Savior. What a wonderful prophecy, and what a beautiful fulfillment. Tomorrow, I'd like to share with you the story of another king of Judah, who faced a similar catastrophe with armies coming against him. But his reaction was quite different from that of Ahaz. Well, that's for tomorrow. We'll look forward to looking into that story. But now I would love to hear from you. Please take a moment and send me an email to this address, Barry, B-A-R-R-Y, at Minsky Ministries, M-I-N-S-K-Y Ministries.org. May the Lord richly bless you until we gather together around God's Word again tomorrow.